morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Today on the program, we're going to check in with a couple of pastors from around the diocese to see how they're dealing with this whole coronavirus situation in the rural and in city parishes. Father Bob Lacey, Father Mike Griffin join us for that interview section of our program today. We'll have a brief news section for you in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Renee Leach with the first and second reading. Father Brian Eckridge with the Passion.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus stood before the governor Pontius Pilate, who questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." And when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?" But he did not answer him one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. At that time they had a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They answered, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." But he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" They only shouted louder, "Let him be crucified." Then Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead. He took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves." And the whole people said in reply, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to be crucified. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And they placed over his head the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God, and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes and the elders mocked him and said, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him." He trusted God. Let him deliver him now if he wants him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders who heard it said, "This one is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to save him." But Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening, and they said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Now here are a few news highlights from this past week. National and local governments have been issuing stay-at-home or shelter-in-place orders to curb the spread of coronavirus, and Pope Francis asked people to pray for and assist those who are homeless. He offered his morning mass recently for those who are homeless, quote, "at a time when people are asked to stay at home," end quote. At the start of a live stream mass from the chapel of his residence, the Pope prayed that people become aware of all those who lack shelter and housing and help them, and that the church would welcome them. Access to clean water is an essential human right that must be defended and protected, the Vatican Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development said in a new document. Defending the right to clean water is part of the Catholic Church's promotion of the common good. That's a brief look at just a couple of things from this past week. Let's move on now to our interview. This morning at Catholic Views, we are joined now by Father Bob Lacey, who is pastor at St. John's in Plankinton, as well as, remind me, Father, your other parishes.
St. Mary's in Stickney and St. Peter's in White Lake. And, of course, Plankinton is also, the Plankinton Parish of St. John's takes care of Mount Vernon people as well.
Right. So you have a bit of territory that you deal with, and certainly in these unusual times, how are you going about that?
You know, Jerry, that's a really tough thing during these times. You know, a shepherd wants to be with his flock, and, you know, you can't. So I'll tell you two ways I'm doing with it. As I call people, and I really haven't stepped that game up, the second way I'm doing it is I'm live streaming Mass, a noon Angelus, and an evening Vespers. And I found that helps me connect with people.
So in a sense, you have people to pray with, even though you're not physically with them.
That's true. Though it is still kind of one-sided with live streaming, because everything is far enough away that you really can't see any comments and chats with it. So it's certainly not a replacement for Mass, but it's something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So how would you say your folks are doing right now? Are they holding up okay? I mean, obviously, we all miss the Mass incredibly, but how do you feel like they're holding up?
I think they're doing okay, Jerry. They are pretty resilient people out here. You know, they're people of the prairie, people of the plains. The same people that can deal with the isolation of a winter storm or flooding are also able to be resilient during this time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also that they do rely a lot on their faith, that this life is not all that there is. And so that helps them keep perspective and balance.
Yeah, the sense that hardships come and go, but you know, faith remains is probably a real good adage to hang on to right now.
Sure, it certainly is. You know, it's the same thing that we heard from this morning's readings. This was Wednesday morning, and the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the white hot furnace. No, they didn't care if they died or if they lived, because they knew that God was God and King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't.
I think it reminds me, this whole time that we're in reminds me, the early days of this diocese, there were people, of course, scattered all across the prairie, just like there are now, and very few priests. And, you know, they essentially traveled to them, and people would go for weeks without having the opportunity for any sacraments. And so, you know, we have some history here that we can maybe draw on.
Well, it is true that, you know, the beginnings of this diocese were certainly a very missionary diocese. They were circuit rider priests. But you know, it was what we had to do at the time. It wasn't what they wanted. So you know, I think that's, you know, still the same as true today.
Yeah. Yeah, it does create a longing in us, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps us to also remember that of what we had, that was so good. You know, it's never take things for granted. I know I do it myself. Mm-hmm. So it helps me be a little bit more grateful for what I've had, and helps me to focus on maybe the smaller things that I still take for granted.
So as people are hearing this conversation that you and I are having, it's likely Palm Sunday, or it's maybe after Palm Sunday and we're into Holy Week when people are hearing this conversation. So that's, you know, brings up a whole nother dimension of the losses that we feel, knowing that we're heading into this time and not going to be able to celebrate in the way that we are accustomed to, certainly for the people. Let's talk about that first, then we'll come back. I want to talk about what it means for a priest. But first of all, what does it mean for your people, do you think, that we have to, in a sense, go through this now?
You know, I really haven't had a chance to think about that at great depth. Oh, Jerry, maybe you can rephrase that for me.
Well, I'm thinking how do we help people approach this time when they can't celebrate the Triduum in the way that we are used to celebrating the Triduum, the crowning of our faith life in that moment of, you know, getting to the Easter Vigil? It's a tough thing for people. It will be.
It is a tough thing, and it hasn't settled in yet. I think people are looking forward to the whole Holy Week experience, Palm Sunday. You know, receiving palms, blessing of palms, taking them home, braiding them. Of course, some people braid them in church, which is pretty fascinating how quick they are.
Yeah.
They really do some beautiful work with those. You know, I think it's going to be, you know, I hope people take the time and the opportunity to get a copy of those readings, grab a missalette from your church. I don't think any of my brother, I suspect that none of my brother priests are going to be upset with people taking a missalette from the church, because, you know, those who take it are probably going to also be the ones that are going to bring it back as well.
Yeah.
And to take those readings and pray with them out loud as a family. You know, I'm just in the process of writing a letter out to my parishioners, kind of laying out a few of these things. You know, read the readings, watch a televised mass. It certainly isn't the same at all. You know, you don't have to watch a televised mass. You know, read the readings and pray through them. Remember the liturgies. You know, take some time to remember the liturgies and what would happen. Recount those to each other. Mm-hmm. Because what happens in the recounting of those memories is that God makes his grace present to us again.
Mm-hmm.
It is not simply a recalling of past events, but in these times it is not just these times of coronavirus and being away from church, but at any time when we call up the past events of sacramental events or graces or desolations or consolations, we remember that God is present at every moment. And yeah. He makes himself present to us again.
Amen. Amen. Let God do the work that he wants to do in us. And I suppose you're probably telling yourself the same thing. It's the same advice to yourself, right?
It is, Jerry. And part of it is to brace myself for what I think is going to be a very rewarding, but I think also particularly desolating experience of Holy Week. I think it's going to be an incredibly close participation in Jesus' own Holy Week experience, because, you know, as a priest, it's so unfamiliar, as a parish priest especially, to celebrate liturgies without anyone present. I mean, you know the angels and saints are there, but it's not the same as looking out and, you know, seeing a little girl climbing over her dad or trying to steal his glasses, or, you know, a little boy trying to get away from his mom, and, you know, or some kid being hoisted on the shoulder and screaming as he's hauled out of church.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
Well,
it is a preparation for my own heart.
Yeah, amen. Well, we certainly will pray for all of our priests who, you know, are going to be going through this in a unique way, for all of us that are going to be going through this in a unique way. Grateful for your time this morning, Father, to check in with us and give us a little update on how things are going in Plankinton and White Lake and Stickney and Mount Vernon. Right? I think I got them all.
Sure.
All right.
You did.
All right.
The big quad.
Father Bob Lacey, thanks so much.
Thanks for your call.
Now on Catholic Views, we are joined by Father Mike Griffin, pastor at St. Mary in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Father, thanks for chatting with us a little bit this morning as we deal with this just such unusual time that we are in. I wanted to talk to a couple of pastors today, and grateful that you are willing to share with us a little bit how things are going at St. Mary's.
Very happy to be joining you, and I was thinking the other day that if I had a dollar for every time I've said the word unprecedented, I wouldn't have to worry about the collection.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, and that's it feels that way though, doesn't it? I mean, every day it feels that way in a new way.
Yeah, it's you know, it's certainly an opportunity for us to be imaginative and flexible, but it's and just kind of an entirely different way of thinking about how to be church for a while, and I think there's actually quite a blessing in that too.
We were chatting before we started that you know, so many of our priests, you included, have had to become a bit more proficient at certain things like technology that you've never probably used before.
Well, yeah, you know, and you know, because I've gotten quite. Well, not good at YouTube, but I can figure it out and make my way around. You know, and that was always kind of tucked away in the back of my head that might be something that would be nice to have as a resource for the parish. But, you know, like everything else, it's like, well, I'll worry about that, you know, when Lent's done and all of the other craziness. But then all of a sudden, you know, this hits and a nice idea that I had tucked away in the back of my head becomes almost an essential element for outreach, and that's that part's been really, really interesting. So getting good at YouTube and Zoom and becoming a little bit more active on the Facebook page for the parish, and all of those things are kind of challenging, but kind of interesting at the same time.
I suspect, like you, or like other places, and I'd say the diocese included, where we've, you know, just what you just said, have really kind of stepped up some of our social media and opportunities for people, and the feedback has been amazing. People really are appreciative and grateful for that contact, and I suspect you're finding the same thing.
Well, yeah, and it's, and a lot of it is just kind of trying to figure out, you know, what's going to be the most beneficial for them, and for, you know, people that are, you know, quarantined or self, you know, socially distancing themselves. At, you know, like weekday mass, you know, we're taping that in two parts, the liturgy of the word and then the liturgy of the Eucharist, and kind of putting those on YouTube as two separate entities. So if someone wants to do the whole mass for the weekday, then they just jump kind of seamlessly from one video to the other. But I talked to some families with small kids and things, and they said that they kind of appreciated the opportunity to just listen to the readings and to have a discussion afterwards. So we like to try to make sure that we've got like a discussion question or something to talk or think about at the end of the homilies and stuff. So, you know, that, you know, just kind of trying to think of ways to make this as beneficial and as helpful for people as possible, which is kind of an interesting experience to think about things in a whole different way.
Yeah, no kidding. We talked also today with Father Bob Lacey, who, of course, is in more rural parishes, and he talked about the, you know, the challenge of not being able to be out and to be into all of the parishes like he would normally be. You're in a little different circumstance where, you know, really focused in a city setting. What is that? Is it all technology for you? What are you able to do?
Well, there's not an awful lot that we can do in the city context that would be much different than in a more rural environment. You know, that we're still not supposed to be gathering. And I know, so, you know, we've probably got more traffic, but other than that, we kind of have to do the same thing that any other pastor in the diocese is going to have to do, which is, you know, figure out a way to have outreach and stay connected to people without the physical proximity, without the physical presence. So, you know, to be honest with you, I can't imagine that being in Aberdeen would make that much different than, say, being in White Lake.
Actually, it's an interesting point. In a sense, you probably have more in common as pastors right now than ever because of the circumstance. So as we move ahead here, most people, again, listening to this probably on Palm Sunday or maybe into Holy Week already for them as they're hearing this message. And how do you prepare? What are you doing to think about, to prepare for Holy Week in this, as you said earlier, unprecedented time?
Yeah, it's, you know, as far as planning the liturgy goes, just kind of in the process of putting those things together, I've worked and contracted with Shriver's funeral home here in Aberdeen, and they're going to be live streaming our Triduum services on their webpage for us. And because doing Sunday Mass and, you know, the weekday Mass is the way that we've been doing it, I think has a certain beneficial element to it. People can kind of use it as they need, as it works out in their schedule. So they can do it later in the evening or early in the morning, but, you know, the Triduum special, and that's different. And so I really wanted that to be, a live experience for people.
Yeah, real
the
real time
that we're all coming together at 7 o'clock in the evening on Holy Thursday, like we always do, and doing and celebrating the evening Mass, the Lord's Supper, or 12:15 Good Friday service, or Easter Sunday, things of that nature, to make that more, you know, give them more of a sense of community.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and I would guess people are going to be grateful for that. How about for you, as a priest celebrating these sacraments in celebrating the Triduum in this most unusual way? How does that for you?
No huge problem at all. And I say that honestly.
Good.
You know, that one of the great blessings of having the privilege of having presided at the Sunday TV Mass for 7 years is that this does not seem strange to me at all. To just look at a camera and, you know, and to try to make that as interactive an opportunity as possible. So I'm really grateful that I had that opportunity years ago to kind of just get comfortable with the idea of just looking through the camera and seeing the people that are just on the other side of it. And so that part has been really helpful for me, and I've been really grateful for that.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. Of course, that experience would be huge in terms of your own comfort level. But still got to be very strange not to have a congregation with you.
Well, it is, but it is a part of the mentality of recognizing the fact that there's people just past that lens,
mm-hmm.
that they can see you, but you can't see them. And as soon as you keep that in mind, and you're thinking about, one of the things that I have in the chapel and then in the church when I'm doing Sunday Mass is have the parish directory with me. It's filled with all of their names, everybody in the parish, many, many of their pictures. And just that, holding on to that, and using that during the prayers of the faithful or setting it on the altar during the Eucharist, that does a lot for me just to remind me that all of these people are a part of this.
Yeah, amen. Great way to end this morning, Father Mike Griffin, pastor at St. Mary in Aberdeen. Thanks so much for sharing with us, and God bless your Holy Week.
Thank you very much. Could I throw in one extra thing?
Sure.
I have a chaplain friend of mine from my time in the Army, and he posted something on Facebook that I think is really important for all of us to remember, that he just had this little post, and he just said, it's really good for us to remember that right now the churches are not empty. The church has been deployed.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I thought that puts it right there in a nutshell. It's a great way of thinking about this.
Amen. Thanks so much, Father Mike.
Hey, thank you so much for the opportunity.
So grateful for our pastors for joining us this morning and giving us updates from their perspectives, from their parishes. A reminder that all of the Holy Week liturgies are going to be streamed from the cathedral, from the Bishop DeGroote celebrating those, both on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of Holy Week, and then, of course, the Easter Sunday Mass, also available via YouTube and also broadcast on Kello. So lots of resources also available still on the diocesan website, sfcatholic.org, prayer resources, readings, all the things that you need to help you through Holy Week. That's our time for Catholic Views today. We'll be back next Sunday.